Today on Real Radio.
Because what Luke does is that he takes from Joseph, who is his stepdad, interesting twist, all the way down to Adam. Those things don't meet. Oh, sure, Joseph can be linked back to Adam, but we have a problem. There was none of Joseph's blood in Jesus.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're taking a look at chapter 3 in verses 19 through 38, where we learn about Jesus of Nazareth being baptized, as well as some of his genealogy. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a study called God's Pattern for success.
What if God wanted to hear from us? He might say, you know, Becky, I haven't heard you pray to me in a long time. Or, you know, Johnny or Susie or Fred or Barney or Wilma or Betty, for that matter, haven't heard from you for a long time. You know, listen, don't raise your hand. Don't say anything. Just think it. When was the last time you really talked with God? What if God said, hey, I haven't heard from you for a while? You go, yeah, I know. Well, I'm not only going to want to hear from you right now, I'm going to want to hear from all of you right now. And he sends a 10.0 earthquake right now. I said, Pastor, don't. Would he have your attention? Could God decide to do that right now and be justified in doing it? And he might shake the ground just to say, oh, listen to all you crying out to me. Oh, it's great to hear from you, Jack. I was missing you. It's so good to hear all of your voices at Calvary. Why? What a huge prayer meeting. He could do it like that. In fact, listen, Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in time of trouble. So we will not fear, even if earthquakes come and mountains crumble into the sea, let the oceans roar and foam, let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. That's a verse in the Bible. God could say, I want to hear from you. And so take, you know, Gabriel, come in, Gabriel. Send Southern California 10.0. He could do it. That'd be drastic, but it'd be effective. You got to admit, it would be effective. Third thing we want to see God's pattern for success, verse 22, is obeying the voice from heaven. Obeying the voice from heaven. And the Holy Spirit descended in a bodily form like a dove. Can you take out your pen and circle the word like a dove? You know what we know? Good Bible students, what does it mean? Did a dove land on Jesus' shoulder? No. In fact, we know one thing for sure. It was anything but a dove. How do we know? Because it was like a dove. The Holy Spirit came down, and just like a bird or a dove would land upon the shoulder of someone. By the way, the dove is the most docile bird in the bird world, and faithful and loyal. The Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus and enveloped him. An amazing moment. As, remember, all this happens as he prays. And a voice came from heaven and said, you are my beloved son, in you I am well pleased. Obeying the voice from heaven is very, very key. All of those present would have heard this happen. We know this from the Greek wording that's used here. They all would have seen Jesus. They all would have heard this amazing moment. Why? Because the Trinity, my friend, is here celebrated incarnate. Will you mark it down? Look at it. Verse 22 is a very powerful verse. This is the Trinity. And I bring it up to you because I need to, because many cults will avoid this verse. They can't avoid it. The Son already in Luke's gospel, the first three chapters, have already told us that he's the Son of God. We already know that he's eternal. We already know that he's come from heaven to earth. We already know that. That's the Son of God. Number two, God the Father is God the Father. Number three, the Holy Spirit descends and it is a person, not an it. He is a person. The Bible says the Holy Spirit can be lied to. The Bible says the Holy Spirit can be made angry. The Bible says you can grieve the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in the book of Ezekiel concerning the children of Israel, they angered God for 40 years in the wilderness. The Bible says that the Spirit of God came and turned on them, and he became their enemy. The Holy Spirit is a person. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, the Trinity of God. Well, Pastor, can you explain it? I can't explain it. Nobody can. And I thank God that we cannot correctly explain this attribute of our God. But the Lord God is one, says the Bible. But he manifests himself in three persons. The best I can do is if there's three of you with the same last name that live under the same roof. You have one roof, one address, one last name, but three of you are individual personalities. Each of you have access to that address. Each of you are co-equal legally. But listen, you're different in personality. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is represented here before us. And so there's this tremendous call to obeying the voice from heaven that is laid upon us as we study the Bible. And he says in verse 22, you are my beloved Son, in you I'm well pleased. And church, listen to this. This is a quote taken out of the Messianic scriptures of the Old Testament, Psalm 2. It's Psalm chapter 2 that makes reference, verse 7, that the Lord said unto me, you are my Son, today I have begotten you. That's a reference to Christ. The word means this: today you will become my Son. Today I will glorify you. It's an announcement given by God the Father to God the Son that Christ would go forth as Savior. When God says here in the scripture that he was pleased with Jesus Christ, what is he pleased about? He's pleased with the offering of Christ. That what Jesus offers is redemption for mankind. Now get this. This was lived out in typology with Abraham and Isaac. The Bible tells us that Abraham was visited by God, and God tells Abraham, go take your son, your only son, and take him to a mountain I will show you. And then, anybody remember? Abraham took two servants with him and Isaac, and they rode for how many days? 3 days, significant, 3 days. In Abraham's mind, how long was Isaac offered up as a sacrifice? 3 days in his head. They get to the base of a mountain, and Abraham says to the two servants, you stay here. My son and I will go and worship on yonder mountain, and then we will come back again to you. That's a very faithful statement to say. Because Abraham knew that his son was going to go to the sacrifice. Isaac is carrying the wood. They go to Mount Moriah. And there, Isaac's his father. Here's the wood that, by the way, the son carried on his back. Here's the fire. Where's the sacrifice? Abraham says, son, God's going to provide himself a lamb as a sacrifice. Well, where did that come from? Abraham didn't even have a lamb. He was speaking prophetically. And so the Bible says that Abraham took Isaac, who's 30 years old, and lays him down on the altar of wood. Now look, a 30-year-old guy could beat up a 100-year-old guy easy. The Bible there in Genesis says that they went in agreement. Isaac lay down, trusting that the God of his father Abraham would raise him from the dead if need be. Abraham takes a knife, puts it up over his son, raises it up, and starts to bring it down. And the angel of the Lord stops Abraham and says, all right, that's it. Look, right there is a ram caught in the thickets. Sacrifice him. And now, Abraham, I know that you'll keep nothing from me. I think God knew that, but Abraham didn't know that. The same hill. God takes his son, wood on the back, goes to the hilltop, Mount Moriah. The altar is there, made out of a cross. Jesus willingly, without argument, goes to the cross. He's crucified. The Father provided the lamb. It's John the Baptist. John chapter 1, verse 29 says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. It's a messianic statement. You are my beloved son. In you I'm well pleased. What does that word pleased mean? In you I am completely satisfied. In what way? God the Father is saying, mankind is going to be saved. Mankind shall be saved because you're the offering and you have willingly, gladly offered yourself to be this offering. God dying in the place for sinful man to purchase for him forever redemption. I'm pleased in you that when you offer yourself, Isaiah chapter 53 says, I will be pleased with your offering and I will give you the heathen for your inheritance. And I will see that by your sacrifice, you will justify those who trust in you. I'm pleased in you. I'm pleased with you. What an awesome thing. The word also means honor. God the Father is saying, I'm honoring you, God the Son, for your work of redemption and your willingness and your obedience. Few things. God honored the Son. God the Father honored God the Son because Christ was willingly allowing himself to come to earth. The willingness of Christ to become a human being. Anybody want to answer this? How long? How long since the moment in Bethlehem's birth? How long will Jesus be a human? Anybody know? Forever. You say, well, that's cool. Listen, forget cool. He's God eternal. And he came. And as Mary was giving birth to him, so to speak, he came out in human skin forever to be in human skin. Did you know that right now, according to the Bible, there's a man at the right hand of God the Father enthroned in heaven forever? Look, we've always been humans, you and I. We don't know what we're, you know, we don't know anything. He was God. The Bible says because he took his riches, yet for our sake he became poor. He knew no sin, says the Bible, but yet for our sakes he took upon him the sin of us all. He didn't know what it was like to stub his toe. He didn't know what it was like to be beaten. How about this? He came in obedience to the Father forever as a human. Not only that, but he came to suffer, and he willingly came. He willingly humbled himself. None of us like that. How about this? He willingly allowed himself to be misunderstood. Do you know what it's like to be misunderstood? Isn't it painful? When you try to convey something to somebody and they misunderstand you and they walk away and the exact opposite of what you wanted to have in their heart happened. Every parent knows what that's like. You know what I mean? And we're clumsy. The older I get, the more clumsier I become. I don't mean clumsy by foot. I mean that too. But I'll go to say something and I really mean something in a really warm and loving way and it comes out wrong. I'm starting to deal with that now. It's like, man, that's not what I meant. I got my words all jumbled up. Can you imagine being willfully subjecting yourself to being misunderstood? I love you, Jesus says. And you guys, not you guys, not you guys. You guys that are listening in. Not you here. I love you. Oh, yeah, you just want me to serve in the children's ministry. I love you, Jesus says. Oh, yeah, you just want me to be an usher. Jesus says, I love you. Oh, yeah, you know what? Why are you fighting? He just wanted to tell you he loves you. What are you making a big deal about it for? You get all upset? He was just trying to say, I love you. I wasn't going to say anything more than that. I just love you, okay? Oh, yeah, well, what do you want? That's cynical. He just loves you. Isn't it a mystery that he loves us? I wouldn't love us if I were me. I mean, if I were him. But thank God, he's not me. He willingly allowed himself to be rejected, and he came anyway. He was willingly put to death, and he came anyway. He was willing to trust the Father in everything. He grew, just like you and I grow. And then finally, you thought I was going to miss this, didn't you? Verses 23 to 38. Huh. You say you got a minute left. I know that. Look down at verse 38. It says here, and the son of Enoch, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God? What's going on here? You see the long genealogy that starts here in this portion of Scripture? When it goes to Joseph, look at verse 23. It's Joseph. Joseph who? Up at the top. Joseph. It's Joseph, Jesus' stepdad, Joseph. Joseph and Mary, Joseph? You know Joseph, the one you got on your front lawn right now at Christmas time? Joseph! And the genealogy goes all the way back to the moment of creation itself. Adam. And it says, Adam's the son of God. Now, wait a minute. Luke's been telling me that Jesus is the only son of God. Oh, yes, sure. In that sense, of course, yes, of course, Adam's the son of God. And that Adam was the first human being ever made. Not only that, church, listen, this is fun. Adam was perfect. There was never another perfect human until Christ came. Adam was perfect. Eve was perfect. He was referred to as the Son of God. What's the point that's going on here? We've got the genealogy of Luke. Okay, listen, everyone, this is fun. Are you with me?
Yes.
By education, by degree, and by vocation, what was Luke? Anybody? He was a what? A doctor. Only Dr. Luke mentions in all of the Bible what is important to him. What is important to a doctor? Some things like chemistry. How about, certainly, biology, right? Luke is cool because what Luke does is that he takes from Joseph, who is his stepdad, interesting twist, all the way down to Adam. Those things don't meet. Oh, sure, Joseph can be linked back to Adam, but we have a problem. There was none of Joseph's blood in Jesus. So what's going on? Joseph had the right to the throne of the king of Israel. Joseph was related to David of old. That's why God, listen, had Jesus born into the family of Joseph. Joseph and Mary, Joseph. But there's none of Joseph's blood in him. God made a mistake. Wrong. King Jeconiah, a relation, a forerunner to Joseph, did evil in the sight of God, and God turned and said, "Cursed be you, Jeconiah. No one from your DNA will ever sit upon the throne of Israel." From that moment on, the descendant from that line could never sit upon the throne. That's the line Joseph's from. The amazing thing is, though he had the legal access, church, listen, though Joseph had legal access to the throne, he didn't have the anointing of God. God broke that off. We have a problem. Then how can Jesus sit upon the throne of David in the future? No problem at all. Because the Gospel of Luke is the genealogy of Joseph going down to, or I should say, starting with Joseph down to Adam. As soon as it goes to Adam, it connects the bloodline. Stay right here with me. Are you with me? Okay, are you okay? You have three genealogies in the Bible. Luke's gospel gives us a genealogy. John's gospel gives us the genealogy. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, John chapter 1, and the Word became flesh. Genealogy of Jesus and his deity. The other genealogy is in Matthew. Matthew's the genealogy of the royalty. Biologically, Adam, Luke's gospel, means it's the genealogy of Mary. And that's exactly true. Matthew's gospel is the priestly or the royal line traced all the way back on the Joseph side. So even though Luke starts with Joseph, it ends with Adam. Follow the blood. Whose blood was in Jesus? Mary and, but not Joseph's. Very, very important. Why is this important? You say, "Jack, I don't care about this." Here's a cool thing, and we're going to end here. You see those last verses of the Bible there? All those verses of genealogies of names that I would brutalize if I tried to pronounce them? You say, "Well, that's not so important to me." I understand that. You ought to circle verse 24, or verse 23 to verse 38. This is for the future. I love this. Have you ever looked into something that is going to happen? Like, have you ever looked at something that's about ready to take off or look at something that's about ready to go? Have you ever seen a horse in a gate or a plane on the deck or a car at the starting line that's about ready to go? Or you might have the space shuttle and you're about ready to launch it and you know that you're going to see it after it comes back. At least you hope so. It's that kind of feeling. See, what are you talking about? Verses 24 to 38. Matthew, Luke, and John are the only authentic Jewish lineages or genealogies that any Jew in the world right now or in the future can ever look at. Church, listen, in 70 AD, the Jewish records of genealogies to trace the Messiah, they were destroyed by the 5th Roman Legion in Israel, in Jerusalem. When the Roman Legion came in and the temple was burned down and the temple records were consumed, all genealogies of Israel were wiped out. The only thing preserved was in the minds of those, when the records of those who lived at the time, who wrote them down, recorded in Scripture. See, what's the deal? In the future, during the Great Tribulation period, Israel must identify her Messiah. How is she going to do it? There's no record. That's why when the Antichrist comes, they will conclude, we've got no record to see if he's the real one or not, so let's just adopt him because of his miracles and his great persuasive ways. Why? Because they, at that time, will not consult the New Testament. Jews do not believe in the New Testament, even though the answer is in Matthew and Luke. When the tribulation period comes and the Bible says the veil is opened off their eyes, the Jewish people, they are going to do what you and I don't do. When we come to genealogies, we skip them because we're Gentiles. Who cares? They care. We're peering into the future. They're going to grab a Bible someday when you're raptured, gone in heaven, and they're going to turn and they're going to go, turn to Luke. I heard somebody say that, you know, turn to Luke. Luke, and look, the names. Oh my goodness. The names. Jesus. Those Christians were right. Those crazy Christians were right. We should have listened to them. It's him. He's the one. He's the Messiah of Israel. They will look to the future. You've got it sitting on your lap. Pastor, will you hurry up? I gotta go. We look so like, this is awesome. If you don't get this, you're missing a big deal. God anticipates tomorrow. When we pray, we're connecting with the God of tomorrow. What's wrong today? Call out to him. What's going to happen tomorrow? I don't know. Why don't we worry about it? Don't worry about it. He knows. He knows so much that he leaves for them a record for the future. You guys, this is a great, great gift of God. There will be a day when some Jewish people will log on to the website maybe and get this message and say, what is that guy talking about? Turn to Luke. I'm not going to touch the New Testament. Just turn to it. Open it up. Use a stick. There. Open it. Look. Read those names. And they can read the names in perfect with their Hebrew. They can pronounce them all. Adam. It's Jesus. It's him. Don't ever think this book is old and dusty. This book is waiting for tomorrow. And this book is waiting for you who don't know him.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, in a presentation called God's Pattern for Success. A look at Luke chapter 3 and verses 19 through 38. It's part of our series through the New Testament narrative or Gospel of Luke, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. In the meantime, if Real Radio is affecting or having an influence on your life and growth as a believer in Jesus, let us know. It's easy to do so. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO, and that's a toll-free number. You can also visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. If you'd like to communicate the traditional way, here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be located at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.